Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom. Excuse me, John. Tom's Wednesday through Friday. John is Monday and Tuesday, engineering and producing our program as we launch into a new month. Monday, April 3rd, 2023, our show in our 13th year now on the radio in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. They are our naming studio sponsor. We love Green Things. The radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. All of our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. It's time for our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe and his great family specialize in custom frame mirrors. We've got a couple in our home. Beautiful products that they produce. Art for your walls. Moe is a fantastic photographer. They've got a beautiful gallery at the shop. Of course, where they really excel is the picture framing. And then after you have your items framed, Moe will gladly come out to your home and make sure they're up on the wall the way you want them. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. This week's one-on-one, Rabbi Tom Lockheim is with us. Tom has been very busy over the last couple of years bringing together two local synagogues, Temple Emmanuel and Congregation Ora Hadash, to create a new synagogue with a new mission, even a new name, Kol Amin, which in Hebrew means all of my people. Rabbi Lockheim was ordained back in 1987. He's been in Tucson. He's got me beat by 1 year. He came in 89. I came in 88. And if you look to the heavens, you might see the only space object named after a rabbi, asteroid 9584 Lockheim, and something tells me that our mutual friend, Rabbi David Levy, had something to do with that. Good to see you.
It's great seeing you, Bill.
Welcome back to the program, and it's very appropriate to have you as this week's one-on-one guest because this is a very important upcoming 7 days, not only for the Jewish calendar, but Christians, of course, as well. Passover begins Wednesday. Easter, the Easter weekend begins with Good Friday this Friday, and of course, Easter on Sunday. Let's talk a little bit about Passover. What are some of the symbols of Passover?
So the one symbol that most people think of during Passover is the matzah. When Pharaoh allowed the Israelites to leave Egypt, they had not enough time to let their bread rise, so we celebrate their rush to freedom with matzah, this unleavened bread, this cracker that is a major symbol. And we raise it at our Seder prayer service that we have in the evening, and we say this is the bread of our affliction. And it's also the bread of our narrowness, our poverty, and oftentimes we have to think of how we ought to humble ourselves before God and our mission in the world, get our egos out of the way. So we have this whole week where we, all the inflated things in our pantry, we have to get rid of, and we really have to humble ourselves down and think about, you know, just serving God in a noble way. So that's one of the most important. The other ones are, and we were talking about this before the pre-show, mm-hmm. One is parsley, which is symbolic of the spring because it's a spring holiday, very much like Easter. Mm-hmm. And we dip the parsley in salt water. So we temper the joy of spring mm-hmm. with the bitterness of our slavery. Reminder of that episode in our history. And then there is a charoset, which is this sweet mixture that's often made of apples and dates and figs, depending on what your tradition is. And it's mushed together, and it looks sort of like a mortar, which is what the Israelites used to build homes and whatever Pharaoh needed at the time. So it's a reminder of the labors. And then there's a horseradish, which is, again, another sign of bitterness that we're reminded of. So those are some of the symbols at our Passover table.
So much about Easter is renewal. And I'm hearing from what you just described that there's renewal also included in the Passover tradition.
Yeah, I mean, I love, listen, you've known me for many years.
Many
and I
years,
love this connection with other religions. And one of the things we share with Christianity is our spring holidays. So with the celebration of the resurrection and the rebirth and that your hopes didn't really die out and a renewal, you know, is what the way some Christians look at the resurrection. Jews have the same sort of idea that we had 400 years of slavery, and now we spring forth into redemption and freedom, and there is hope for the future. So every year, you know, after the winter, we have something that springs forth from the cold earth, and there's hope for the future.
From a on kind of the holiness scale, with Christians, they would probably put Easter right up there, perhaps. I know, ahead even of Christmas. So where on the Jewish calendar does Passover, is it considered right up there as one of the holiest days of the Jewish calendar?
Yeah, it's so funny because I've had this discussion with Christians and Jews for a long time. You know, oftentimes there are a lot of Christians who like Christmas more than Easter.
Yes.
You know, it's more celebratory.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't realize that the early church fathers, you know, wanted to downplay Christmas as much because the birth story, as you know, is not as important as the death and resurrection story. Same is true with Judaism. Hanukkah is a really minor holiday, and it's about a military victory, and we've turned it into something a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like Christmas has turned into a festival of lights, and Hanukkah is a festival of lights. So in the darkest time of the year, we bring light to the world. Great. But the more important is Easter and Passover. And there are two other holidays that are as equally important as Passover. One is Sukkot in the fall, where we celebrate the fall the summer harvest, and then we plant for the spring and the summer harvest. So Sukkot is important. Passover is next. And then Shavuot, which is a holiday even a lot of Jews don't even know, is when God gave the commandments and the entire Torah to the Jewish people and the world, and that is in the early summer. So Passover, Shavuot, and Sukkot are three major ones, but you can't downplay Hanukkah and Christmas, can you?
No, you can't. And so many of the Jewish holidays, well, Hanukkah's the seven days, and this Passover is always 7 days. That time period kind of unusual, or are many Jewish holidays over extended periods of time?
Well, Hanukkah is actually 8 days.
Okay.
All right. But here I'm going to get into trouble. in the Book of Maccabees, when the temple was restored and they were able to offer sacrifices and light the seven-branch menorah. They only had oil enough for one night or one day, and it lasted for eight. But in the Maccabees, they don't have that story. What they have is, hey, let's celebrate Sukkot, which is a seven-day holiday plus an extra festival put at the end. So Sukkot is 8 days. Hanukkah is 8 days. Passover is 7 days. So those are the lengthiest holidays that we have. So we have 2 8-day festivals, Sukkot and Hanukkah, and then a 7-day festival of Passover.
All right. Our Monday one-on-one is with Reverend Tom Lockheim from Kol Amin, the congregation Kol Amin, which we'll learn more about that in our second segment with Rabbi Lockheim. But right now, Rabbi, it's time to talk about our favorite bakery in town. What that is. Yes.
More.
Yes. Mona's. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. You enjoy their lunches. That's something we don't talk about probably enough. We always kind of headline the breakfast, but lunch is great there. Their sandwiches are terrific.
Well, they're great, but my wife sends me there for their pastries.
There you go.
Sorry.
Yes, and I've been doing a few of the croissants lately. Let me see in my order of croissantness. I like, I'll go with the almond, then chocolate, and then the butter croissant.
You know, Bill, we should stop this program and go up to Mona's right now.
Let's do it. All right. Mona's, their website's monasdanishbakery.com. They take that well-deserved day off on Monday, open 7 o'clock Sunday morning, and then Tuesday through Saturday, they open the doors at 6:30, and a lot of people are waiting in line when they open the doors. I don't blame them. They get the best choice from the Baker Case. More with Reverend Rabbi Lockheim.
Reverend's okay.
Yeah, okay.
I don't mind.
The rabbi right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It is our Monday one-on-one. Our guest today, as we begin the week of Passover on Wednesday, Rabbi Tom Lockheim. And Rabbi Lockheim, we've known each other probably 30 years. We had you many times on the television show that when I was hosting Arizona Illustrated, and you really were so much about, and you still are, kind of this multiculturalism and showing that really, you know, we all get up in the morning and put on our shoes. I mean, there's so many things that we share in common, regardless of whether we label ourselves an Episcopalian like I do, or a Jew or a Catholic or Islamic people. And we had so many great conversations on the TV at some very difficult times around 9/11. We had some very intense conversations. I remember one where you and an imam shared our stage together, and we came away realizing there is some real common ground.
Yeah, and that's what I really, selfishly, that's what I really enjoy. When I get together with some of my minister friends or priests or imams, we really enjoy just sitting in private, off camera, off microphone, and just we're fascinated about what makes each of us tick and all the things we share in common, which is more, we share more in common than what's divisive or different in our practices.
So, things are so divisive these days. There's the struggle with the pocketbook, the divisiveness, the rise in anti-Semitism.
Yeah, and this is why I believe my multi-faith work that I'm going to do after I retire more energetically is so important, because the feedback I've gotten back from Christians and Muslims who I've gone to, you know, speak to in their places of worship, they really appreciate knowing, you know, I hate to say a Jew, but a human being whose religion is Jewish, and seeing that there's a face and there is something that they share in common with me and I share with them, and creating that kind of appreciation and connection is really important in, you know, my next adventure in my life.
You know, before the break, I mistakenly said the minister Lockheim, but actually rabbi, the term rabbi, as you informed me during the break, at one time, Jewish spiritual leaders in this country were not known as rabbis.
Yeah, I think the Christian community, the general Christian community of the United States, didn't know what to do with that title or understanding or understand what that title was, which means my teacher. Mm-hmm. But what I was telling you was my great great grandfather's congregation, Richmond, Virginia. His rabbi was known in the local papers as Reverend Mickelbacher. And I'm sure that he never fought against that title, because it's a title of honor.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this endeavor that's been going on, what, about 2 years now, the new religious enterprise, where you have two pretty well-known synagogues in our town that kind of got together, and you sort of have been shepherding this effort. What has that been like, putting together the Kol Amin Synagogue?
Well, so the only thing I take issue is the shepherding idea, I think, because I've always worked in a collaborative manner. And so the lay leadership...
of the shepherds.
Okay.
Then. Okay.
Yeah. So. It's a different connotation in Christianity, though.
Yes, it is. So maybe we shouldn't.
I like being a little bit more in the background. And I really, what was really important to me was that the lay leadership and the members really felt that this was an enterprise that they were creating, and I wasn't foisting something on them. And we shared a lot in common, And we felt that if we combine resources, we could have a greater impact on our own members and on the community in a more meaningful way, and also redefine ourselves. You know, with Gen Z, for example, it's making up 25% of the U.S. population. Mm-hmm. You've got to look at your religious enterprise in a very different way than we did a generation ago.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing.
So membership in religious organizations has been going down.
Yes, it has.
All over the country. How do you encourage younger people to take a look at what you are offering?
So what we're really fortunate, I have a co-rabbi who's been with us since July, Rabbi Malcolm Cohen, and he's been doing an enterprising, wonderful effort, reaching out to members of our community, having coffee, having tea, just greeting them in their homes, you know, in the marketplace, just to find out what they want, what they really desire from a synagogue. And it's this one aspect, we haven't really talked about it yet, mm-hmm. but you're probably very much aware that 30 or 40% of those between 16 and 25 aren't even getting driver's licenses. So if that's really true, either they got to get to your edifice by Uber or by Lyft, or you got to go to them.
Yeah.
So we're looking at efforts to get away from our synagogue building and to reach out to our younger community in a meaningful way in their homes uh-huh. or in their neighborhoods so that they can come, because you know, it's going to be within our lifetime, Bill, that there are going to be fewer people driving cars. And mm-hmm. so we have to go to them instead of them coming to us.
By the way, I had not heard that statistic. What was the percentage you said?
So first of all, 25% of the American population are Gen Z. Those are 16 to 25.
Okay.
And then it's somewhere in the area of 37 to 40% of these kids are not even getting driver's licenses.
What?
Because why pay the expense? You know, why pay cash for a car, down payment for a car, something they really don't really utilize because they're staying a little bit isolated mm-hmm. more often mm-hmm. than not. They're not mm-hmm. venturing out mm-hmm. The way you and I did when we were younger.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're very content with, mm-hmm. with that, at least for the time being.
So after 40 years of serving congregations, you're going to begin a new chapter. And I'll be perfectly honest, I hate the word retire. I kind of like to look at it as kind of the next chapter. So why don't we put it this way? What is the next chapter for Tom Lockheim?
Yeah, so I'm really excited. So I end my present status in the beginning of July.
Yes.
And I've told my congregation that I'll be away from the synagogue at least through February, mm-hmm. giving Rabbi Cohen an opportunity to really make the place his own. Mm-hmm. If there are events or programs that Marsh and I want to attend, we'll go, but we'll sit in the pews. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sit up on the bima, on the high place. If Rabbi Cohen needs my services within that time, and I'm available, I will do that. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, Marsh and I are going to travel a little, see our kids, mm-hmm. and the two areas I want to really get back to work with a lot of energy is immigration issues. And as I said before, I want to get back and see my colleagues in the Christian and Muslim, Buddhist, mm-hmm. Sikh communities who I worked with so diligently in the aftermath of 9/11. Mm-hmm. And I just want to do more good work in that area.
So is that kind of the realm of social justice, could you call it that?
In the immigration area. Yeah, I want to make sure that people's human rights are safeguarded in mm-hmm. this community, that we don't look at people who've immigrated into this country as illegals, mm-hmm. but as human beings who mm-hmm. have rights being mm-hmm. here, and we want to make sure their health care and their welfare are cared for, especially being in a border state. It's really incumbent upon our citizens to do as much as we can to safeguard human life. I mean, when Bishop Kankanis and I mm-hmm. and other leaders years ago were called to action, one of the things we did was we gathered the Border Patrol and we gathered the Sheriff's Department and
I remember that.
All these enterprises. And the only thing we wanted to do was make sure that no more human lives were lost in our desert.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we
mm-hmm.
were there to safeguard their lives.
But unfortunately, it's now back to record levels of lives being lost in
right.
the desert.
Well, so, I'd like to get back to the efforts that we started a couple decades ago.
So I can see you very much working on trying to alleviate some of this divisiveness, and certainly I'd like to see you as a spokesman in our community against anti-Semitism.
Yeah. So the I'm not sure how to broach it, except as I said to you before, one of the things, I have a evangelical colleague in the Northwest,
mm-hmm.
and he brought a Muslim representative and myself to a Sunday morning service.
Uh-huh.
And his whole point was, if my congregation can get to know a Jew and a Muslim
mm-hmm.
and see that we are good citizens of America and we're no different than they are except how we practice our religion, then maybe there'll be less animosity toward people who, you know, folks whom we don't understand as well. So bringing that understanding, I think, is the first step toward reducing anti-Semitism.
Let's bring you back, and then after you begin the next chapter.
Okay.
All right. Rabbi Tom Lockheim, our guest on the Monday One-on-One presented by Moa's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moasgallery.com. Rabbi, good luck to you, and we'll keep in touch, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. We'll take a break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. Be right back.
Nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love green things. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. What a strange winter we have been having, though, with our 32 degrees tomorrow night. Well, after that, then we can maybe really look at our spring gardening over at Green Things. Green Things open daily in their 53rd year of business. Beautiful 13-acre site and their sister business, Zocalo Village, all that beautiful merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. One of Tucson's most popular independently owned radio station, the four-year-old KDRI, known as The Drive, has been acquired by the broadcast company that owns this radio station, Portland, Oregon-based Bustos Media. The Drive joins Bustos for other Tucson stations, 106.3 FM The Groove, which plays old-school R&B. This station, 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. 92.5 FM Urbana, which plays Latin and Spanish pop. And the Spanish language radio station KZLZ La Poderosa, 105.3 FM. The Drive is on the FM dial at 101.7 and 83 on the AM frequency. Joining me in studio are Amador Bustos, who owns Bustos Media. Amador, thank you for being on the program.
Thank you for having me.
And two of the three co-owners of The Drive, Rio Nuevo Chair and well-known Tucson entrepreneur, Fletcher McCusker. Hey, Fletcher.
Good morning. Afternoon, I guess.
Yep. And Arizona Hall of Fame broadcaster, Bobby Rich. Hey, Bobby.
Hi there. Also, Hall of Fame.
Back at you.
I was going to bring mine today, and then I remembered you already have one, so it wouldn't impress you at all.
Well, I tell you, I do appreciate you when you were actually at my induction ceremony. Mm-hmm. I can't believe it was 2015.
Wow.
Inducted into the Arizona Hall of Fame, and you beat me by a couple of years, but you've had an amazing career. I mean, how many years now in the business?
Oh, I can't reveal that because I've been lying about my age my whole life.
Oh.
So unless I started at age like 3, then I could say I've been doing it for 6 decades.
6 decades.
Yeah. You and I are pretty much contemporaries.
Yes, pretty much contemporaries.
I actually started when I was 15, but I was already playing around the radio station and doing little things for them because I grew up in a real small town and wasn't a big competition thing. Also, my dad owned a business in town, so they kind of like didn't mind me hanging around because they knew that my dad'd be buying ads.
I don't know if me throwing the ball against the garage and playing announcer like I was hosting. I grew up in Chicagoland, and I was like the announcer for the Cubs, and I was having these imaginary, games. And then it carried over into basketball, and then it carried over on the front lawn into football, and I was the announcer. So I guess my career goes back a long way, huh, Bobby?
Yeah, and it's interesting because that's one of the ways that people have fun to see what it's like, and they do what they think it might be like, but they don't know.
Yeah.
Because they've never been trained.
Exactly.
So, I mean, for guys like me or people like me, I grew up listening to the radio, and I love Top 40 radio.
Yeah, me too.
And so I would just hear what they did and how much I loved the jocks, the DJs. So I thought, well, I think I could do that, but nobody's ever told me what to do or what not to do.
Yeah.
Which to this day is still true, except for the telling me what not to do part.
Yeah. Well, one more quick note about my dad had a shortwave radio, right? And so I'd play around with the dial and bring in all these places, these faraway places. And I think that's kind of where I got my love of travel. My wife and I have been to 100 different countries. And I dreamed as a kid of going to all these places. I would listen to all these, you know, on the shortwave radio, Radio Netherlands and Radio Australia, Radio Canada, and I dreamed about faraway places. So the radio certainly has a certain mystique to it, doesn't it, Amador?
It certainly does.
And first of all, let me congratulate you on the acquisition here of The Drive, two more radio stations to the Bustos portfolio. Tell our listeners a little bit about Amador Bustos and what you have built up at your home offices in Portland.
Well, since you guys are reminiscing of old times, I might as well reminisce as well.
Please.
I actually started my career in radio at KNBR in San Francisco.
The big 50,000-watt station.
That's right.
You got your first gig at KNBR?
Well, sure, but I was doing editorials on public affairs.
That's huge, man. Come on. Big station.
Yeah.
Yes, and then from there, you know, because the FCC back then actually gave a lot more importance to public affairs. They actually had composite weeks that stations had to fill out information about what they contributed to the community. But then eventually they deregulated that and became less and less. So when I could not make a living at public affairs, then I went into sales. And then I went into sales into Spanish television. Back then it was called SIN, Spanish International Network, which eventually was bought by Hallmark. Then it was returned a few years later as Univision. And so I did that for about probably 6 years, and then the FCC began spreading all kinds of frequencies around the country under Docket 8090, which probably put out about 800 frequencies around the country, and I began applying for a series of them that would eventually be sort of the footprint of the C-Spanish radio network back started in 1992.
Mm-hmm. What was your first acquisition then?
It was Sacramento 92.1. It was in that area, and that's where we started our network. And subsequently, we actually sold that, you know, grew it over 10 years to about 32 radio stations, borrowed about $120 million.
Yeah. And so you sold that particular group and then kind of rebuild it.
And then,
current makeup, which is what, about a couple dozen stations?
No, it's 25 radio stations.
25
now,
radio.
Concentrated in Oregon and Washington and now in Arizona and Northern California.
Yeah.
So we went through the cycle of selling the first company that we built to Entravision and then stayed in their board of directors for 3 years, then restarted Bustos Media 1.0 and then sort of hit the skids with a big recession of, 2008, 2009, 2010, returned many of the stations to the bank and then restarted, went up north and to Portland and restarted the company with only three radio stations in that city, two AMs and one FM. And so then began to spread around. And I'm very happy to be in Tucson because my wife loves it here. So do I, but she's absolutely pushing me to come and stay here full time.
Amador Bustos. Fletcher McCusker, you like radio?
Well, I actually started in radio. I don't know that either of these gentlemen know this, but 53 years ago,
what?
I worked for John McFlanagan at KTKT.
John McFlanagan, I remember that name.
And I was in sales, but I figured out very quickly I did not want to be in radio. Unlike both of them, I couldn't wait to be in any other career because there was so much pressure on sales to produce the revenue. I loved the music part and the DJ part, but there was so much pressure to produce revenue that I was in college.
Uh-huh.
I eventually graduated from school. Never thought about radio again until this station became available.
Yeah, and this station, you wanted this station, why, 4 years ago? Why did you want to do this?
Well, it was irresistible at the time. Bobby and Jim had retired.
Jim Arnold,
our partner.
Yeah.
And this was a former Family Life Radio Christian station. They had just purchased the mix, and they had to get rid of a radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently that's not so easy anymore.
Right.
So we finally got a call one day and said, what do you guys think about getting back into the radio business? We'll make it very affordable.
Mm-hmm.
And I called Bobby first, and Bobby said, let's do it. And then we convinced Jim to come in as the general manager. That was 4 years
ago? Almost four years.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys really have done well, Bobby, and appealing to music of my generation, our generation, the baby boomers.
Talking about your generation.
Talking about my generation.
Generation by the Who?
Should we get into that right now?
No, but you know what is weird about radio is like, why wouldn't anybody want to do something for this generation?
Yes.
And I'm talking about boomers, but I'm also talking about 45, 50 plus, even younger. This morning, we got a phone call at the station from a 38-year-old guy who had been listening. We did a big April Fool's joke on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
where we turned the station into the greatest novelty hits of all time and played those all day long and called ourselves The Worm.
On Bustos' first day.
Yeah. I wanted to
April
welcome,
Fool.
I wanted to welcome Amador with the greatest respect.
Oh, man.
So that's how that went. But this guy was 38, and he said, my girlfriend and I listened all day and said, you need to do more of this. And I said, well, maybe not more of this. But the fact is that the music of the generation,
mm-hmm.
which starts in the mid-60s-ish and goes through mostly the 70s and then into the 80s, early 80s anyway. And, you know, I've always kind of been the age of the audience that I've been talking to. So when I first got started, I had to pretend like I was older, and now I have to pretend like I'm younger, or I'd be out of the boomer category. So it's hard for me to remember what my age is, and I kept lying about it for so long that I've kind of forgotten.
All right, before we take a break, Amador, will that kind of format continue?
Yes, it's absolutely an addition that it's perfect for the group that we have built here. Mm-hmm. I think that it reflects completely the demographics of the city and metro of Tucson, and so we're very proud and happy to have acquired, and very congratulatory to Bobby and Fletcher for what they have done.
All right, let's take a break right here. It is the Buckmaster Show, first Monday in April. Be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is John Trout. Catch me every weekday morning at 5 before Wake Up Tucson with America in the Morning. Breaking news, weather, politics, and sports on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. One of our great sponsors, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Spring getaway time. Check it out. SouthwestNewMexico.org before you take only about a 3-hour drive east of Tucson, so much to do, like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness or just hanging out in historic Silver City. Some really interesting Victorian architecture. It's a great place to visit. If you've not been over there, put it on your radar screen. All right, when we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management, we are talking about a transition that is happening here in the Tucson broadcasting scene. Bustos Media, which owns four Tucson radio stations, including the station you're listening to, 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Well, Bustos Media has acquired two more stations, a popular station known as The Drive. One of the owners, the three co-owners, Hall of Fame broadcaster Bobby Rich. Bobby, as we talked in the first segment, great to reconnect with you in person.
Always. Well, we, as you know, we radio people don't like to be seen.
No.
It's hard. You don't want to let down people's imagination.
No, we don't.
And I've had, as you've had over the years, it's like people love to say things like, well, first they say, it's nice to put a face to the name.
Yes.
The voice. And I say, really? Because look at this. And then they say, you don't look anything like you sound.
Uh-huh.
And I said one time, after I got really tired of hearing that for about 30 or 40 years, I said, what did you think I would look like? And this lovely woman said, and I'm not even kidding when I say this, I don't know, but not like that.
Okay. Also with us, Fletcher McCusker, one of the three co-owners of The Drive, Fletcher, and the third co-owner, is not with us, but I've known Jim Arnold since the University of Arizona when we were in a radio and TV class together. So we go back a long way, but Jim's a great guy. And so the three of you have sold the station to Amador Bustos, and Mr. Bustos with us also in studio. Fletcher, why the decision to sell this independent radio station?
You just said the
locally owned,
yeah,
independent.
You said
radios.
The word that we appreciate the most. That's also the greatest challenge for us. We're an independent radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Our competitors are clusters. You know, if you think about iHeart or Cumulus or Lotus, even Bustos can sell multiple ads to multiple stations. In order for us to compete, we wanted to be part of a cluster, and the only person who we would entertain that with is in the room. It's Amador.
Mm-hmm.
So we think it's a perfect match. We like the way The Groove and The Drive feel together. We think it's a great opportunity for advertisers when you add in the Latin and talk stations. There really isn't another station in town mm-hmm. that covers our unique demographics. So we think everybody's going to do better as a part of Amador's environment here, and we love Patty too. So this was a fit of people, and I think mergers that are not always economic, they're of the heart, and this is truly one of those things that was just felt right.
And you felt very comfortable with Mr. Bustos, who not only is based up in Portland, but the Tucson connection with the Tucson stations, and Amador and his family do have a home here in Tucson.
That is correct.
Yeah. So you wanted to stay local rather than go with the
we're
big.
We're encouraging
big
him
groups.
To move yeah. quickly so we can yeah. continue to say we're locally owned.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What about you, Bobby? What's your future showing right now?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I've been doing it a long time. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I've always said that I would keep doing it as long as it was fun, and it is. It's still fun. I do my part of the morning show from home, and I have a partner who does her part of our morning show mm-hmm. from her home, and we've technically mastered that. So I just love it. It's all I've ever done, and it really is something that will never leave me, and I know that if I stop doing it, I'll be done. I'll mm-hmm. just have to be done mm-hmm. with everything. So I want to stay involved in some way with broadcasting. 60 mm-hmm. years is not long enough mm-hmm. Not long enough for me.
Amador Bustos, the situation with AM radio, we were just speaking our previous interview, the rabbi was telling me he's got a Tesla and he can't even get AM radio now on the Tesla in the new car. That's a challenge.
It is a serious challenge for AM stations because obviously those electric cars and AM are not very compatible in many ways. As you, if you have an AM station and when you go under sort of the electrical wires, you can hear
yes.
the static. And mm-hmm. so it would be constant. And I think that that's why the NAB is very diligently trying to find technical ways to improve the standing of AM in these electrical vehicles, because that's the trend in terms mm-hmm. of the automobile mm-hmm. manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
But it has always been challenging also for FMs, because obviously the multitude of now sources of audio that you have in the world, no, from satellite radio to all of the streaming platforms, and the hundreds of little radio stations that people want to build on their own.
Well, as you know, you've got small AM radio stations in town where it's like the community newspaper, Amador Bustos. They
yep.
tune in to the AM station. They need that. That's a vital link.
That is correct. And sort of especially the AMs are very useful for three sources of audience: recent immigrants mm-hmm. and specialty sort of communities that do not have any other ways of communicating. So we have radio stations in the Northwest where the Russian population is quite significant, and so we have a Russian station. We have a AM station in San Jose where the Vietnamese population
sure.
is quite significant.
Large Vietnamese community in San Jose.
They are you. So niche markets are really the only, unless you have a big killer 50,000 watt station
yeah.
for sports or talk,
mm-hmm.
they are only really useful now for niche markets that can serve specific communities.
All right. Well, Bobby Rich, all the best to you in whatever. I never use the word retire, Bobby. I use the word next chapter.
Oh, you know, that's strange because I'm actually writing a book
yeah?
that I started in 2013. with my writing partner, and I'm too busy to finish it, so we only work on it one day a week.
Well, the chapters are there.
We only have three chapters left to write,
okay.
so I'm hoping to get it out while I still have a job that I can use to promote my book.
That's
so
literally
I have
the
a
next
title
chapter.
For your book. You ready?
yeah.
Humility and How I Achieved It. By Bobby Rich.
There you go. All right, Fletcher McCusker. Thank you. We'll end on that very humorous note.
A good one.
And again, Amador, congratulations on your latest acquisition. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having us on.
All right, that is going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of our guests and John, engineering and producing our program, Bill Buckmaster, saying, hope you have a great afternoon.